I try to use Sunday night as kind of a practical, you know, just teaching practical living, righteousness, you know, how we ought to be. I think we need that. We can't take for granted that everybody understands everything about how you ought to be, you know, manners and, you know, dignity and just being a, you know, not taking the low road, taking the high road in our living, in our talking, everything. We can't just take for granted that everybody understands what's right anymore. All the markers have been removed and all the boundaries have been erased. So, you know, we just have to... I'd much rather preach like I preached this morning all the time. You know, I'd rather just preach about Jesus. But in order to live for Jesus right, we need some plain old practical, down-to-earth, pointing the finger at, naming it kind of stuff. And I think it's helpful to us. This kind of stuff has helped me through the years. Sometimes you just got to say it. Because people, everybody assumes it, but nobody says it. I preached most of this message about 8 years ago. And like they do with all of their books and articles and everything, this is the updated version. This is the 2024 edition. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 6. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. That's backwards, the way it's supposed to be. You see? It's a contradiction of reality, truth. I mean, the folly is set in great dignity. Wow. Is that where folly belongs? No. Is that where dignity belongs? No. And the rich sit in low places. Low place. Sit in low place. No, it's not supposed to be that way. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about classy or trashy. How you living? A person's character can usually be summed up in them those two simple words, classy or trashy. And classy, don't misunderstand what I'm talking about there. It's a modern word that doesn't occur in the Bible, even in its root form. And so I'm just using that word because it rhymes with trashy, you see. There's a lot of words, though, that do occur in the Bible that have the same basic meaning that the modern language ascribes to that word class or classy. And that word is dignity. That's what you find in the Bible four times. And we understand classy to mean elegant and graceful and admirable or having or reflecting high standards of personal behavior. Y'all know what, you know, we use kind of rough language to talk about these things. You know, we say low living, low life. We'll say that about somebody who just has no respect for others or themselves. Who the Bible refers to that kind of person as, they said one time, certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Well, now you know what he's talking about, don't you? Same thing that we talk about when we say that, low-life people. So that's insulting. No, I'm just calling it out here, you know. As Christians, we don't need to live like that. We don't need to be like that. Amen. So, you know, we're just going to go through some stuff here tonight. Dignity means elevated, worthy, honorable, inspiring respect, and graceful. When you distort your body, when you put tattoos all over it and pierce holes all in it, and you, it's called body modification, does that bring honor upon you? What is that? That's degrading. It is defiling the temple of God, your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's things that should not be done. And it's not honorable. It's not a thing of honor or dignity. And that's just one. I mean, I've got a lot more to say here besides that. But dignity means elevated and worthy and honorable and inspiring respect and graceful. You know, we're given in to this too much. You know, we don't realize what it is when we back up from that line just a little bit. And we think, well, that don't matter. You don't have to do that. Bible don't say you have to wear that or do this or do that. You know, and particularly preachers who stand behind a pulpit and claim to be a preacher. Do you know what the deal about wearing a tie is? It inspires respect and confidence. That's why all the politicians wear a tie. That's why all the important businessmen, anything like it, newsmen, you don't see them coming on the air with holes in their jeans and t-shirts and dressed trashy, do you? Then it don't belong in the pulpit either. In fact, it don't belong in the pews. You know, people ought to come to church. You ought to dress up a little. If that's, you know, even if it's a new pair of overalls, a clean pair of overalls, that's not your everyday stuff you wear when you go out to slop the hogs or feed the chickens. You don't do that. I mean, you're treating the house of God as a thing common and unclean. You're profaning the things that are holy. You didn't do that in the temple. You didn't come in just any old way. And the priest certainly didn't go into the Holy of Holies with his tennis shoes on and his Bermuda shorts. No. What would have happened if he did? There were strict laws about what they wore, how they wore it, when they wore it, and if they didn't, well, they drug him out of there dead. It was serious business with God. What's holy is holy, you know. And that's what God judged Israel for when it came down to it every time. That was the thing God named. That your priests and your prophets have failed to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the profane. You made everything common and unclean. Nothing's holy anymore, and it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, and don't you see that? I mean, I don't go to other churches and visit a lot, but I see people that do, and I see pictures and stuff, and there ain't nothing. Nothing's left. They come to church dressed just like they're going to the beach, or just like they're going to work, or going to shop at Walmart. And that's bad. People go to Walmart in their pajamas or almost with nothing on. And people come to church the same way. Well, I won't chase that rabbit for the time being. We'll move on here. But so when we speak of someone with class, we're referring to the fact, or dignity, we're referring to the fact that they take the high road and not the low road in their behavior. The way they present themselves and the language they use. You're better off to be polite and be respectful in your words, in your attitude, in your spirit, and in the way you present yourself to other people. If you went to the doctor and he come in dressed like most preachers come to the pulpit, how would you feel? Huh? Would you feel comfortable? Well, of course you wouldn't. You know you wouldn't. We had a deal in Mexico. The boy got sick and I took him to this doctor. We took him to all kinds of doctors. They couldn't fix him. So somebody told me, said, there's a doctor. He's not a real doctor, but he went to medical school, but he got kicked out for fighting. But he's got him an office in the back of the vegetable stand down the street there. So we went down there to him. Went back there and there's a dirty old door. Just terrible looking. But we got that guy and he was dressed like that. Just dressed terrible sloppy. He didn't look like a doctor at all. Nope. Not a doctor at all. Kind of made me uncomfortable. Wasn't what you expect out of a doctor, is it? It's not what you expect out of a Christian, is it? To be low and base and lewd. No. It's not what we expect. Trashy doesn't need any explanation, does it? Trashy? You know what trashy is. It's the opposite of classy. It's the opposite of having any dignity. It's the low road in everything. Dignity is the high standard and trashy is the low standard. That's the poles we're talking about here. Most character can be measured by those two terms. You hear me? Most character. It says something about what's inside by what the outside looks like and acts like. Amen. Makes a difference. How we look, how we sound, and how we act reveals our character to other people. And these are the basic things by which others estimate our character. Isn't that true? You look at people and that's the way you size them up. Everybody does. Just like what I was just talking about. You expect a level of dignity from different kinds of people, like doctors and nurses and any kind of profession, you know, or a preacher at church. You expect some dignity there, don't you? Mm-hmm. And if you don't see it, what do you do? Well, you don't have respect for them. It lowers your opinion of their character, doesn't it? Sure it does. So, like it or not, people establish in their minds our worth and whether we're worthy of respect or not. You say, nobody respects me. Well, maybe we ought to check ourselves out. If people don't respect us, why don't they respect us? You know, it's real important. You young people, you know, there's some more I'm going to say here, but boy, it'll give you a step up in the world if you'll just dress nice. No, I'm not talking about being fancy and over the top and showy. That's not what we're talking about. No. A young man with his shirt tucked in and you know, his hair fixed, and same way with a woman. You know, this idea of just, you know, what's this hair do that just looks like you've had your head out the window all the way to church? What is that about? No order. It's all disorderly. It's no order. It's just, I don't care. There's such a contrast between one that's where you can tell they've actually brushed their hair and fixed their hair. That's man and woman both. Makes a difference, doesn't it? I don't know. Just always been a thing. You know, when I wear a hat working and all, my hair is a mess. But that's why I don't like to put a hat on in the morning if I'm going to be going to town or something, because I can't fix it. Once I wear a hat, it's messed up. Until I do something else with it, take a shower. But I don't want to go out looking like that. I don't want to go out where people's, you know, looking at it and saying, man, he didn't comb his hair. Makes a difference. You say you're just picking and it's just piddly stuff. No, it's important stuff. It's that first impression that you make on people when they look at you. You don't know how much it'll help you in life, in the world, if you just have some dignity about yourself instead of just living trashy, being trashy, dressing trashy, talking trashy. How we look. It's how we present ourselves. Our clothing says a lot about our character. There used to be a book years ago and it said, your clothes say it for you. And that is a fact. Amen. It should be appropriate to the occasion. You know, here's the thing that it's a thing that bothers me. Weddings, funerals, people show up dressed casually or sloppy and are trashy. That bothers me. Somebody's died. We're here to pay our respects to the family and to acknowledge this life that was lived, and it's an important, heavy matter. It deserves more respect than our carelessness and thoughtlessness and laziness about just putting on some clothes that are appropriate for the occasion. You shouldn't show up at a wedding looking like you just come from working in the garden or something. Amen. It speaks bad for you to everybody else. Everybody don't look at you and say, "Wow, that's neat. I'm glad they came dressed like that." No, it makes you stand out in the crowd as somebody that just don't even care about nothing, about anybody. So, it says that you either don't think or that you don't care about others, and that you don't respect others or the matter at hand. If it's a funeral or a wedding or whatever it is, you just don't, it don't mean nothing to you. I dress up a little to go to a funeral visitation. I don't just go in my same old clothes that I work in. It's not appropriate. I don't care who the person is or who the family is. They deserve more respect than that. And it shows respect when you do something different than just the norm, common thing you do every day. It's not the high road, but the low road when you do that. Sure, it's easy. Sure, you know, it's not. Is it not worth any trouble for you? I mean, the matter, the wedding, the funeral, whatever it is. Church, is it not worth your trouble to change your clothes? Or to have clothes that you wear to things like that? You know, my life and my growing up, we always had clothes that we didn't wear to play in, to work in. They were for things like that. To go to church, to go to somewhere. We had good clothes to wear. They were for that. That's the way people used to be. And that's what I'm getting at here tonight. People are not that way anymore. And it's getting to where that the people in churches are not that way anymore. Even in churches like our church. Too casual. Too careless. Too disrespectful. Too unconcerned about this matter. It doesn't impress anyone to think better of you, but worse. I don't understand all this fad of this of the tattoos and everything, and this the sloppy, terrible way of looking and painting your hair pink and green and purple and orange and or shaving it all off or putting making a mohawk down the middle or, you know, cutting letters in the side. Just any way to distort and mess up your body. Mm-hmm. Everybody notices it, and that's why they do it. To draw attention to themselves. Is that right? Why would you do that? Cut designs in your hair. Why would you do that? Is that natural? Normal? Bible condemns it in so many ways, you know. The Bible talks about them cutting the corners of their beards. They were doing it way back then. Doing things unnatural and freaky, you know. You know, likewise, wearing a suit and tie to work, if you're working on the plumbing or mowing your grass or working in the garden, makes you look foolish and eccentric. Dress appropriate to the occasion. That's what I'm getting at here. I knew a preacher one time, and I was always told by everybody that he mowed his grass, and I believe I even heard him say it, that he even, when he mowed his grass, he wore his suit and tie because he's a preacher. Well, you're not preaching when you're mowing the grass. Everybody drives by and thinks, you know, that's foolishness. What? That's appropriate. Immodest dress is trashy. It's trashy. Not classy. There's no dignity in it. There's shame in nakedness. Not dignity there. Why would anybody want to dress immodestly? Why you want to show your shame? The Bible speaks of it that way all the way through. Isn't that right? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, What was the problem God came calling for? What did Adam say? He said, well, we were naked and we were ashamed. Well, who told thee that thou wast naked? Adam and Eve hid themselves. They didn't flaunt themselves. What's the matter with these people nowadays? And especially people who claim to be Christians, who dress so immodestly. Does anybody even understand what modest dress means anymore? Modesty? Well, let me tell you something. Leggings are not modest. No. And neither is that, I just wear dresses. Not if they're tied as a you know, peeling on a banana, they're too, that is not modest. A tight dress, I don't care if it is a dress, it's not modest. Amen. Well, I'm wearing a dress. You're immodest if you're showing things you shouldn't be showing. Say, well, I had a preacher, I had to say this because nobody else is saying nothing about it anymore. Nobody should see your undergarments. That's the low road. And they're showing a lot more than that now. And somehow, anybody that says anything about it is a kook and a goofball. Ain't got no right saying stuff like that. Well, I believe that it do. I believe that's part of preaching. Righteousness. I think we're supposed to preach against that. Stand and contend for the faith. It's just like this morning. How can you, you know, if you're a woman or a man, how can you claim to be following Christ and be immodest in your dress? And here's the thing that gets me. I believe me, I'm so much more controlled in the way I talk about this than the way I used to talk about this. I try to be real careful, but I'm just telling you, you know when you're dressed immodestly. Especially women. They know. They do it on purpose. If you do it, you do it on purpose, and I know it. And so does everybody else. You ain't fooling nobody. You know exactly what you're doing. And you know exactly the effect it's having, and that's what you're wanting. And so that's why you do it. And if you wanted to please God and be holy in your walk, you would not do it. You'd cover yourself up. You wouldn't show your shape and everything else. You wouldn't want to. It would be a shameful thing to you, not a proud thing. Boy, that makes women mad. If they're that way, that makes them, man, they want to kill you. They really do. They don't like that. That's their empowerment. You hear women talk about being empowered nowadays? That's what they do. That's exactly, they say that. That's their empowerment. If they pose naked for the public in some magazine or something, that's their mark of being empowered. Who's telling them stuff like that? You reckon the devil is telling them that kind of stuff? Yeah, I believe that's who it is. If we're a slave to fashions and fads, we look foolish to others. I want you to know that. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
You pick up the fads and fashions of this world, you got your eyes in the wrong place. And it doesn't make you look cool or with it to everybody. It makes you look foolish. Man, I don't understand it. You know, when I was in the 7th grade, you know, I'm talking about a long time ago. See, this is before most of you were even born. It was like 70, 71. Raymond, you was born then, and Dad was, but the rest of these people weren't even born. Just think about that. Well, bell-bottom pants was the big deal. That was the big deal there. Well, my mom got the idea to buy me and my brother David a pair of them bell-bottom pants. Great big old bells and vertical stripes on them. And I'm telling you, my brother loved them. He thought they were the coolest thing in the world, but I was so ashamed. I mean, I was just so ashamed because I'd go to school and I just, everybody's going to laugh at me. But they were the thing. They were in. But the rest of them guys wasn't wearing them. I didn't want to wear them. And I don't understand Christian people nowadays that watch the world, and any little fad that comes along, they want to do it. They want to fix their hair. They want to wear a certain kind of clothes or shit. I don't ever even keep up with all these shoes and brands and all of that. It makes me no difference whatsoever. I know I need a pair of shoes. I'm going to get one of these days. But I've got a pair of shoes in my closet that I wore to Sarah's wedding 20-some years ago. They're blew out. I can't wear them anymore. But I don't care. I have never cared. I don't have to have just so-and-so kind of brand and just so-and-so kind of that brand, you know, of that brand. I've just never been that away. I don't care. Most of the time I've been in the woods, so it just didn't matter what I look like. You may say that, but I really, the only time I care is when I get out in public around other people. I don't want to present myself as a slob or as some kind of goofball that's following every fad that comes along in the world. Shame on you. If you have to have whatever the world's doing, if you follow their leading, hair, you know, all these other things like we've been talking about. It seems like every woman I see now has got a ring in her nose. What in the world? How did we get to that place? A fair woman that is without discretion is like a in a swine's snout. Who? What did they always use nose rings for? Hogs! It's a sign, you know, even in the ear and all of that, it's a mark of slavery. It's an identity of homosexuals. Was for years. I don't know what, they don't even have to wear that now. Yeah. But how did they convince all the women to start wearing rings in their noses? Why would you want to punch a hole through your nose? Do you ever look at a National Geographic? Where'd they get the idea? That's the coolest thing I ever seen. Punch a hole through your nose and stick something in it. A bone, a ring, a stick. And walk around like this. It's cool. And all you got to do is just have a few celebrities do stuff like that, and everybody's right with them doing the same thing. Children of God should not have any part in none of that. Whatever the world does, I'm not doing it. I stay away from it. You know, if all the world wore black shoes, I'd wear brown shoes. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to imitate them. Hope you all get that. Shows a lack of stability in our character because we're trying to remake ourselves again and again when we follow the fads of the world. I can tell you with full confidence that when I was in high school, it was 50 years ago. But if a boy came to school with an earring in his ear, he would not have went home with that earring in his ear. He wouldn't have made it through the first hour of school. I promise you. Is that right, Raymond? Did you go to school? Would it have been that way then? Yes, sir. Girls wore earrings, not boys. What is the matter with you? But now, look. All of them. It's degrading. It's not dignified. It's not about dignity. It's degrading. It's degrading. It's the low road. It's trashy. It's trashy. to have a ring in your nose. Now it is. It's not elegant. It doesn't lift the other's opinion of you. They don't look at you and say, "Wow, that really looks pretty." Have you ever looked at a woman and said, "Wow, that nose ring just makes her look so much better"? You ever known anybody that said that or thought that? Then why do they do it? To change our appearance with the fads and fashion says that we're trying to redefine who and what we are and what we're about. And that's why it changes all the time. The world's confused. They have no identity. When they discard God, they have no idea. They don't know who they are. And so they're always seeking and searching, trying to find themselves. See where they fit in. See what they really are. Let's try pink hair. Let's try green hair. Let's try no hair. Let's try curly hair. Let's try straight hair. Let's try a mohawk. Let's try shaving one side off and leaving the other side on. Did you ever hear anybody say, "That looks good"? It makes us look phony and shallow and foolish because we're always a-changing. All right, here we go. Y'all ready for this? Good hygiene is most important to good character. Cleanliness is next to godliness. The Bible doesn't say those words, but the Bible teaches that principle very clearly. We lower ourselves in the eyes of others very drastically if we're habitually unclean in our hygiene. You know, you understand what I'm saying? If you stink, other people think less of you. It lowers other people's opinion of you. If you're that way. I mean, in the summers are coming, we get out and work in the summer, dirty, sweat all day. You're not going to smell too good when you come in, probably. But take a bath. Don't go to bed like that and get up the next day. Do you ever get behind anybody in Walmart in the checkout line and you had to do something else? I mean, everybody's had that experience, haven't you? You ever wonder how can people live like that? They get used to it. It's just like I heard a preacher talking the other day. You know, you get used to it. Said this guy went out to a hog farm. He said, "Man, this place stinks." He said, "How in the world can you stand it?" And he said, "I don't smell nothing." See? The farmer, he was used to it. That's how it is. You don't ever keep yourself clean. You just get used to the stink. You don't understand that everybody else comes up, smells it, and you don't. It's low. Low. It's a low road. It's trashy. Ain't no excuse for it. We got plenty of water. We got plenty of soap. Don't take that much to clean yourself up. Don't punish everybody else with your laziness and carelessness and your low esteem of yourself. We should do all our hygiene in private, not in public. Don't come to church and sit there and clip your fingernails. Do it at home. Put on your makeup. Well, if you do that, I don't know why you need to do that either, but some people feel the need, I guess. There's another stump, ain't it? Remember, I preached on that a few years ago, too, about makeup, and I thought I preached a pretty good, balanced message about it, you know. Brother Parker always said, if the barn door needs painting, paint it. That was his philosophy about it. Well, there were women got mad because he called them a barn door. See, you just can't win. But it's, cutting or filing your fingernails, combing hair and buttoning up your shirt and picking your nose and scratching and all that, do that somewhere else, not out in front of people in public. People used to teach their children things like this. It's manners. It's etiquette. And you can... All you're proving is that you're living low if you don't care about how other people think. And it's... You don't like it. when some people do that. So why not do it yourself? Doing these things in public in front of others doesn't raise their opinion of you. It causes them to estimate you as a person of low character. You're thoughtless. You're unaware that other people are watching you. And it's like, ugh. Have some dignity about you. About your body. About your hygiene. About what you do in public in front of other people. And if your kids do it, smack them. Do something. Tell them to stop. Teach them to stop it. Don't do that. We don't do that in public. If you have to do that, go somewhere else. Teach them that. You'll be doing them a great favor in life. Even when I was in school, kids, there was that, you know, that's how everything got filtered and sorted out into the different social levels. People that acted like that, they went on a lower level. Everybody thought of them as, ugh, he's gross. Remember? You don't want people saying that about you. And if you're a Christian, you ought to care more about it because we're representing God here. And we don't want people to think that we're just lowlifes. It takes away from our testimony as a Christian if we don't have some dignity about us in these matters here. How we sound to others is an important part of how they accurately estimate our character. You know, people that curse and swear, that's trashy. That ain't dignity. There's no dignity about using profanity. Amen. Y'all ought to say amen, or I'm going to start thinking that some of you use it. It's the low road in language, not the high road. It shows a lack of intelligence. It shows a lack of character. It shows a lack of vocabulary. It shows... just look, you know, man, I could chase this one a while. But we were talking the other day, and you know, I remember a long time back, and I've always heard people cuss and say profane things. But it's not like it is now. Nope. I don't remember if I ever heard a woman using profanity in my young life as I grew up and in my young adult. I don't remember. I don't ever remember a woman using profanity. Me hearing it. Well, you're going to hear it now. I never heard a man in mixed company or around children using certain words that they use in every other breath now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They didn't use that word. Mm-hmm. Not, they'd say everything else. They wouldn't say that. Now, it's the fill word for everything. The president does it in public. Okay. All the politicians do. Yeah. Right. All of them. You hear them saying that stuff, using that word. That is trashy. Yes. What does it speak about their character? Low. You better believe it. Tells me all I need to know about them. If they don't have any respect for anybody more than that, if they don't have enough respect for your girls to talk like that in front of them, man, they're pretty low. They got low character. They're running low, living low, thinking low. It absolutely never makes a good impression on anybody to hear another person use profanity. In any kind. Any kind. And somehow they think that it does. They'll use it thinking that impresses somebody and it never does. I had some experiences when I was a young teenager, and boy, I got rebuked, I mean severely, by a stranger. It you know, Dad always says, it broke an egg in you. Well, that kind of did for me. Because I thought it was tough. I was going to show him, you know. And man, he set me in my place. I'm thankful for that. Ain't been too many people doing that now, are they? And nobody says nothing. I mean, you just well expect it from everybody. I've heard profanity from the pulpit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you might as well expect it that if there ever is somebody here and I'm here and they do that, that's the end of it right there. We ain't going. I don't know how anybody that would do that would ever get in here, but if he did and he did it, that'd be the end of it right there. I wouldn't let it go on. But there's no place for it in any place. It's profanity. Are y'all listening to me? It's profanity when you use minced oaths. It's just the same as saying the words. And I'm going to hammer this just a little bit here. Do you know what a minced oath is? Now, I've told y'all this different times. You know what it is? It's taking a profane word, a cuss word, and changing one or two letters and going ahead and saying it. Do you need any examples? You need me to just say it for you? No, I don't intend to. You know, don't you? Changing a letter or two and going ahead and saying a word that everyone hears as the real thing. It really disturbs me, this word that so many are saying now. And it starts with an F, and they're using it. They change two letters in it and go ahead and say it. Say it and say it and say it and say it and say it. And it's profanity. I don't care if you change two letters in it. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not as bad as saying the real. Yes, it is. That's what everybody hears. So much of it that way. There's so many things that we say that are just minced oaths. Christian cussing. Now that's the low road. We ought to be able to talk and converse and speak without using those kind of things in our language. Can't you talk without using that kind of stuff? You need to fill your brain, fill your mind with enough language and vocabulary to be able to talk without using minced oaths and pure old profanity. It's low, low, trashy. What would you think of me if you heard me saying that? What if I said that word? Well, then why do you say it? If you heard me saying some of the things I hear you saying, what would you think of me? Would it lower your estimation of me? You better believe it would. Works both ways. Works both ways. I even looked it up here on the worldly definition of a minced oath is this. It says it's a euphemistic expression formed by deliberately misspelling, mispronouncing, or replacing a part of a profane, blasphemous, or taboo word or phrase to reduce the original term's objectionable characteristics. An example is gosh for God. Now the world said that. That's the world. So I shouldn't have to explain too much more about that to you, should I? Why do we need those fill words? Those words, why do we have to resort to that to express ourselves? We don't. We hear this word all the time from people who are supposed to be Christians, and it's very offensive and abominable. Don't do it. It's the same thing when we use bathroom talk or suggestive talk that takes the conversation down in the gutter. That's the low road. It's trashy. It's trashy. Y'all ain't amening too much. I'm telling you the truth. Do you need to do some things here? Make some changes? Then do it. You can change the way you talk. You can eliminate things out of your vocabulary. I did. Before I got saved, I had a very dirty mouth. And it stopped. It stopped. It was a habit. And I remember after I got saved, there was only one time that I said something and I instantly thought, oh no, that was the last time. That was the last time anything like that came out of my mouth. You can. You can change the way you talk. Well, let's see. Let's moving along here. If we're the loudest person in the room, we're making a bad impression on everybody else. Loud is offensive, not impressive. And it doesn't manifest dignity, but it manifests the other. Loudness doesn't exude dignity. There's a moderation. You know, she's always saying moderation in all things. Well, the Bible doesn't say those words, but it does teach that. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Yeah, for the Lord is at hand. So, let's, you know, if we had a PA system up here and we had it turned up full blast and I look back here and everybody's just going, oh, oh. You think we got it just right. No, it ain't just right. We need to turn it down a little bit. Amen. If we're critical of others and always saying something negative about someone else who's not present, we're taking the low road and being trashy. You ever hear about he's talking trash? Talking trash on so-and-so. Well, that's the right way to put it. It's trashy. To speak of others in a positive way behind their back, well, there's some dignity in that. And that shows respect for others and causes people to estimate your character much more highly. Doesn't it? Sure does. To make bodily noises in public is trashy and causes other people to correctly judge you as being a person of very low character and thoughtless toward others. And how we act around others, that shows what kind of character we truly have, and others know it by watching our behavior and interaction with others. How we act around them. Other people are watching and they figure us out that way. We should be real and authentic and not phony and put on. And we've been preaching on Wednesday nights about hypocrisy here for weeks. And there's that right there. Don't be phony. Don't be put on. Be real. If our character is honorable and we have integrity, we never have to pretend or deceive. And we never have to hide behind a facade. You know, we can be open and real. There's dignity in that. That's the high road, not the low road. The low road is hiding and pretending and lying and putting on. If we can't show our true self to the world, then our character is not what it should be. If we can't show our true self, our character is not what it should be. People will pick up right away on our fakery and two-facedness. Don't you? Don't you pick up on it? When somebody's just dripping with honey and sugar and, you know, it's just... Then you turn your back and they draw the sword on you. You know, don't you recognize? You do recognize it. Don't want to be that way. Don't pretend to know things when you don't. Don't pretend to know things when you don't. There's no shame in ignorance. There's shame in staying ignorant. But there's no shame in not knowing something. And we ought to be willing to just... Our pride shouldn't keep us from trying to pretend that we know something when we don't. Because we're going to get found out. People will find out. That's the low road, and it'll leave you stranded on a limb for everybody to see. And you'll look foolish and lowly in their sight. when you try to make people believe you know something that you don't know. Stay within your boundaries of what you do know. Be attentive to others. You know what's irritating? What's rude? Is messing with your phone when you're supposed to be talking to somebody. That's rude. Put it away. Don't be looking at it or trying to carry on a conversation with someone. While you're trying to carry on a conversation with someone or while they're talking to you. Do you like it? If you're talking to somebody and they just turn away and they got their mind on something else. You're just talking. And what do? You just say, quit talking to them. That's what I do. Okay. Don't be rude. Be attentive to others. Listen to others. We got two ears and one mouth. I'll listen twice as much as we talk. Right? It's very disrespectful and rude to do that, and it's offensive. And so naturally, it lowers that person's opinion of your basic character. Are you classy or are you trashy tonight? Is there dignity? If you weighed yourself in the scales, where do you think you'd be? Honestly, now, think about yourself. All these things we're talking about. I've got a few more to mention and then we're going to go home. But be responsible and leave things at least as good as you found them. We used to travel a lot. We'd stay in people's houses and other things and in churches. And that was a thing, you know. We didn't want to just mess up everything and leave. And, you know, you at least try to leave things as good as you found them. You ought to do that in your own home. You ought to do it for your own mama. And everybody else in your own home, your sisters and your brothers. You shouldn't just make a mess and leave it for somebody else to fix. Man, that's low. That is low. Why would you do that? Unless you just don't care. Unless you just want to be hateful. Unless you want to cause somebody else trouble. Pick up after yourself. Put things back where they belong. Oh. Has anybody else struggled with that in their life? People won't put stuff where they got it. There's a problem here. It's easy to do. You just remember where you got it. When you get done with it, put it back. Don't throw it down somewhere else. I just don't do that. I mean, I'm working and sometimes I'll leave something there, but I know it's there. And I'll go back and get it and I'll put it back where it belongs. Because, you know, a month from now or 2 months from now, I'm going to need that thing and I need to know where it is. And my tools and stuff are... they're where they belong. They're where I know where they're at. And so when I go there and pull the drawer open, and it's not there. Oh. Y'all ever have any ruckuses at home about it? What'd you do with my so and so? Nobody's ever had that trouble, huh? It's aggravating. It's aggravating. It's low character when you won't do that. When you're looking out for other people. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor or his brother or his sister or his mom or daddy. You don't want to make life harder for them. You don't want to cause them frustration and aggravation and you know, inconvenience. You want to help them. So you wouldn't do that, would you? Just take stuff, somebody else's stuff, and throw it around. When you borrow stuff, take it back. In the first place, you shouldn't even be a borrower. I mean, that's a thing that's just a bad practice, borrowing. I've never been one to do that much. If I need something, I'll find a way to get it or something. Or go rent one. Go rent one and then don't take it back and see how that works for you. Well, Dad's got one, I'll go get his. Or my brother. If you borrow something, take it back. How do you feel if somebody borrows something of yours and they just don't ever bring it back? Well, this is a problem. Back years ago, we had preaching tapes. That was a big deal. You know, we didn't have no internet or nothing like that. So if we got a hold, we were always trading tapes. And if somebody get a tape, we'd loan it. You know, can I borrow it when you get done with it? Well, I found out right away, you know, I'll make a copy of it and give you a copy. If I wanted to keep it, if I didn't care about it, I'd say, sure, here you go. Because I never got them back. I don't believe I ever got them back. You ask them, hey, you got that tape? Yeah, I forgot it. I'll bring it next time. Forget it. And that's in church. What's the matter, people? We were talking about this the other day, me and somebody. But I can't hardly rest if I know that I've got something that belongs to somebody else. I just can't. Every time I seem like I pass it every time I walk through the house. And I think, I can't live with that. Plus, do you ever borrow something from somebody and tear it up? Break it? I remember a guy in Virginia, he showed me his drill and he said, so-and-so borrowed it and this is the way he brought it. It just tore all to pieces. I mean, it wouldn't even work anymore. He borrowed it and brought it back to him like that. Here's your drill back. That didn't set too well. Next time he come wanting to borrow something, what do you think he said? Well, he should have said, no, I ain't loaning you nothing. Well, we're not friends anymore. Well, it's not a very good friend if you take my stuff and break it and won't even bring it back to me or bring it back to me broke. Put things back. Always clean up after yourself. Don't leave a mess to somebody else. Be gracious to others and be sensitive about their feelings. Be aware of yourself and avoid being a nuisance or getting in the way or offensive to others. You ought to be self-aware enough to realize when you're doing something or when you're, you know, it's irritating everybody else. Yeah. My wife can't stand this. If you go, oh, that just, see? It set her off right then. So if I just sit there and go, well, we'd probably be divorced in 2 or 3 weeks. Well, I don't do that unless I just want to get her stirred up and help her blood pressure to get up a little bit better. But I don't. I know it irritates her, so I don't do that. If things get boring, I try to liven things up a little bit. But I don't do it to be mean to her, to just listen to this. I'm mad at you. Or I don't just sit around mindlessly doing it while she's going, ah! Think about other people. Be aware of yourself and other people. Church would be a lot better if everybody did that. Home would be a lot better if everybody did that. Do these things. Just think about these things. Be kind and be courteous and be personable with other people. Have good manners. Speak to others with respect. Say yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And thank you. Often. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That is the right thing to do. You know, I was a pretty stickler with that with the kids. I made them say yes, sir. Don't you talk to somebody and say yeah. Or call them by their first name and all of that if it's an adult. You say yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And of course, we had family members that said, you shouldn't do that. They even went to the kid and said, you don't have to do that. That's just too much, you know. But Seth came to me years later and he said, you know, that was one of the best things you did for me, because I found out that on jobs and dealing with people and, you know, that changes everything. When you talk to somebody with respect like that, it changes their whole attitude towards you. Now, if you're a young punk and you got that deaf and dumb spirit and you won't answer to talk, it's so much different when a young man says, yes, sir. No, sir. Don't make you a slave or a servant. But what's wrong with being a servant anyway? If you're wanting a job, that's what you're wanting to be, is a servant. Remember this morning? A servant is voluntary. Servant is an employee. An employee needs to learn how to show respect. You're going to work for somebody, then you're working for them. What time they're paying you, they own you. They own your time. You're selling your time to them. And so when they tell you to do this, you just say, yes, sir, and do it. Don't argue with them. Don't go in there and say, I got a better way of doing this. Y'all listen to me. He didn't hire you for that. He hired you to dig a hole, not to tell him how to run his company. Amen. Be respectful. That'll get you way far in life, boys. Sure will. If you need to sneeze, use a handkerchief or a tissue. Yeah, or your arm. Didn't you learn that during COVID? Sneeze in your arm. Don't just sneeze and blow it all over everybody. See there? Just the mention of it sends everybody into revulsion. And you see people doing it, coughing. Just cough all over everything. You ever see one of them videos of what comes out of your nose and mouth when you sneeze and cough? If it was black where you could see it, it looks like one of them diesel trucks, you know, them rolling coal trucks. It's what it looks like. There's a lot more comes out of there than you can see. Cover your... It's consideration for other people. Now, I don't know why you're preaching all this stuff. That's what I told you at the beginning. We just need to say this stuff once in a while. These children need to hear it once in a while. You need to hear it so you teach your children this stuff. If you don't wipe your nose on your sleeve, that's not a thing to do. So what am I going to do? Well, how about carrying a handkerchief in your pocket? You ever think of that? It's a different thing if you're out in the woods by yourself or whatever. It's a different thing when you're sitting in a building with people, or you're sitting at a table eating with people, or you're sitting talking to people, you know. Yeah. I mean, that don't go over big. Why would anybody do that? They're not thinking. They're undisciplined. They're not self-aware. They're not seeing themselves. They have no concept about how other people are looking at them. They're just mindless. That's low. That's trashy living. Trashy living. Don't put your finger in your nose or your mouth. Say, why did I know a guy. And some of you are going to know who I'm talking about when I say this. But every time I meet the guy, he's a grown man. Every time I meet him, he's got his tongue sticking out, holding on to his tongue with his fingers here, flipping his tongue. Nasty. I can't hardly look at him. I mean, I just... Reckon anybody's ever told him, you ought not do that. Why are you doing that? Get your fingers out of your mouth. Get your tongue in your mouth. Get your fingers out of your mouth. Your tongue goes in your mouth and your fingers... Do something else with them. Don't burst out in loud laughter so that everybody around you cringes. Open doors for other people. defer to others. You try to cut in line anywhere? No, that's a bad thing to do. You ever have anybody cut in line in front of you? I have too. It happened one time, and I was just, it was the wrong time for that to happen. I wouldn't do this now, but I did that time. I just grabbed him by the shoulder and I said, "Hey, bud, the end of the line's back there. I've been standing here for 15 minutes. And, oh, I'm sorry. But he just came in and just slid right in front of me. The line's all the way back there. I might still say, "Hey, you know, what are you doing cutting line? I mean, are you rude or what? Would that be wrong for me to do that?" I wouldn't ever do that to anybody. I go in and I'm aware. It, you know, people standing around at the counter and it's kind of hard to figure out sometimes who's where. But, you know, I'll always say, if they say next and they're looking at me, I'll say, what about them? Well, they were here. And if they say, "Oh, they're taking care of me," I say, "Okay." But I don't want to cut in front of somebody. That's terrible. Makes them think ill of you. I don't want to do that. Open doors for people. Defer to others. Give them the opportunity to go before you or to be served first. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's dignity. That's the high road. The low road is to say, "Me first." How we present ourselves reveals our character, our true character, to others. Even though we may try to throw a smoke screen and put up a facade, others can see through and see what we really are. And we may fool some of the people some of the time, but we can't fool all the people all the time, as the old saying goes. So be real and be aware of what others are really thinking about you. And care enough to be the kind of person God wants you to be. Here's you a couple of scriptures that just reinforce all of this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And you understand that conversation is not just talking like we have talk. Conversation is your walk, how you live, how you interact with other people, how other people perceive you. Be holy in all manner of conversation. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," and he's talking about the heavens and the earth and everything. He said, "What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And you say, "Well, you know, you listen to me tonight here talk about all these things that nobody really ever talks about because we take for granted that everybody should understand this stuff. But if everybody understood it, then we wouldn't be continually sliding down to the trashy side of everything. So once in a while, we need to say some things like this. Like, keep your finger out of your nose. Keep your finger out of your mouth. Be nice to people. Be aware of yourself. Be thoughtful toward one another. And it starts at home. If you're hateful to one another at home and always causing one another trouble at home, and if you don't care how you act or what you do around everybody at home, you won't out in public either.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Charity begins at home. I think I've heard that before, and I believe that's true. Children ought to learn at home. You know, I read old things, and like the thing about Lewis and Clark I was telling you about a while ago, they read out of their journals a lot in that thing, that documentary, and tell what they said. Their language was so far above the way we talk. Their thoughts about life and everything were so far above what most Bible-believing Christians think now. One of them said, you know, on his birthday, he said, he resolved that, you know, he'd become aware on this birthday that he just hadn't done enough to benefit humanity and his fellow man. His life hadn't amounted to nothing, really. And he resolved from that day on to live his life more for others than himself and for the good of man. I mean, he had high aspirations. They thought like that, you know. What am I going to do? What's my life going to matter to humanity? I mean, am I just going to be a nothing? Or am I going to add something to make things better? To help somebody behind me, you know, make it easier for them, make it better for them, make them able to step a little higher. And now everybody just lives for themselves and the moment and for nothing. And it ought to be better than, we ought to be living better than that. We ought to be living higher than that. And it starts with these little things that just say what we are. All these things I've talked about. It matters. It's not a thing that don't matter. It don't matter how you dress. It don't matter what you wear. It don't matter how you talk. You know. It does matter. And you start thinking in the higher realm, you'll rise up to greater heights in your life. You'll mount to more in your life. You'll have a more of a positive effect on the people that know you. And your family. You'll leave something behind that they can rejoice in instead of be ashamed of.
Yep. That's right.
Amen. I'm not talking about being haughty and holier than thou, if you want. I hate that expression. But this idea of being, you know, the snooty, nose in the air kind of people, that's not what we're talking about here tonight. Not trying to show everybody how much better we are than them. No, that's not what we're talking about. If you're gonna, this, and I'm gonna say this and I'm quitting, but what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Is that just a matter of verbal deal? I mean, you say certain words and that's taking the Lord's name in vain? No. It means when you take His name, like a woman takes the name of her husband when she gets married, if you wear the name of Christ and then you don't live like it, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You're claiming His name, but you're not walking in His ways. You're not representing Him right. You're not like Him at all. Do you think Jesus walked with dignity? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. You think He was thoughtful about other people around Him? Of course He was. Obviously. Can you imagine Him doing any of these things? Following any of the fads of the world? Being base and lewd and these, or using any kind of low language like that? Can you imagine Jesus doing that? No. Well, then we shouldn't either. Amen. Well, there's you some things to think about. Think about it. Tomorrow. When you get back out on your job or whatever you do during the week here and the people you're around, think about this stuff. Be aware of yourself. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Since we can do this, why don't we stand? And be dismissed. How about that? Yeah. Watch, you want to dismiss us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You've given us, Lord, for bringing us safely through another week, bringing us all back together to where we can meet in this kind of space and worship you, Lord. I thank you for letting us have the manpower and the will to get this done, for helping us with it every step of the way. Get this building together to where we can start meeting in it. For the opportunity for visitors to come in and hear what we have to say about you. I pray that you would be with folks that are going home tonight, and with Mr. Vinny and Miss Sam going back home and traveling through the night. Just keep hand over more.
Yes, Lord, protect you. Please watch over.
For Brother Matt, later this week as he goes and travels, that you just protect him. And yeah. I pray that you watch over us through the week, Lord, and keep us safe while we're working.
Yes.
Let's all be back together safely. We'll do it again. We ask all these things in your name.
Amen. Amen. All right.